Yes, yes, we are back here. Early break on the ticket. Nick Sainert filling in for one of the newest dads in Lincoln, Jake Sorensen.
That's a good way.
Safe to say.
Jake Sorensen is Steve Zippel, Bill Bush alongside. Hour number two, sponsored by our friends at Midwest Bank, member
FDIC.
Bill, what has Shin Daddy got going on today?
He had to do a brief national press conference yesterday to just reconfirm where FDIC was at and how everyone, because he invented it. So he has to. So once a year, he has to get kind of a State of the Union of where FDIC is at. So he gave a State of the Union where FDIC was at and how things are protected. Yeah, I did. So yeah, it was not. Yeah, it was on C-SPAN. Yeah.
Do people stand up and interject?
Absolutely. They ask a few questions.
So Steve, serious.
Yeah, serious. Steve answers some questions.
No levity.
No. And it's just then it just
there moves. Can't be.
There's not a lot of it's you know, there's no such thing as a dumb question, but there people are pretty guarded. It's like Steve's got this. They don't ask a lot. They just kind of, Steve, is FDIC still in a good place? It is. And that's kind of where it doesn't go real deep because he's got it all figured out. A lot of stuff going on every day with him.
See, what I mean, you're learning about Shindy. He definitely has a side to him that's creative and even funny.
Yep.
But it, I mean, it's FDIC serious stuff. So he has a very serious side.
Very serious. But he's also have on the lighter side today, which is nice.
What's today?
Well, today it's competitive culture. And he has brought in for the whole town to enjoy professional sumo wrestling. So they will come in the lobby, and there will be sumo wrestling that goes on in the lobby of the bank. And so get a chance to expand your culture, expand your sporting knowledge, and get a chance to understand the culture and the history behind sumo wrestling. And then there's eight wrestlers that have come in to compete.
Okay. This just seems like...
Oh, no, it's true. They got... You know how the ring's set up? You got to knock him out of the ring to win the sumo wrestling? Yeah, so he's got that all set up. He has a mat. He's got a mat down. Also, competitive sumo wrestling.
You frame this up as competitive culture.
Yes.
Competitive culture.
Yeah.
Sumo wrestling in Creighton, Nebraska.
Who would thunk?
So you bring in these mammoth sumos.
Yes, eight of them.
Eight of them.
Yes, they're also going to do a little...
And they will compete.
Yeah, and there'll be a press conference. There'll be a Q&A with them also, just talking about how they got started in it and how things got going.
That is a great cultural experience.
You'll be able to hear that audio on the ticket later today. Yeah. We'll cut that up. We'll play.
My sister is the translator. Yeah, if they have any, if there's any sort of... Any, there needs to be...
Well, they need translation?
There might be some translation issue. Yeah. And Tamara handles that.
Tamara can handle
yes,
that.
Yes, she can, yes. Multiple languages.
This is going to be an experience for people when they walk in if they don't know what's going on.
It'd be a lot. I think if you first walked in, you just want to get a cashier's check.
There's a big dude over there with no clothes on. With a strap.
Yeah. They're trying to knock each other out of the ring. And what's going on here?
And especially if you walk in during a match.
During a match. It gets heated. It gets loud.
Downtown Scott asks, does he have the traditional hut in place for pre-wrestling meditation?
You know what? That is a great question. I know that Steve delved into that. I'm not sure where it's at, but I'm sure it's set up. He doesn't miss anything, but that's a great question. Thank
it is.
You.
Yeah. A hut.
Downtown Scott.
You can have that outside.
Yes.
I think. I don't know.
Well, they could. It'd be on gravel because they put the gravel in to replace the skating rink.
Yes. Skating rink is gone.
We're done skating. So anyway.
Heard him do this one before.
Now, this is a new one.
Yeah.
This is a new one. Creative culture.
This is in Creighton, Nebraska. Do you know where Creighton is, Swim?
It's near Omaha. No, it's not. It's about 30 minutes away from Omaha, correct? I do have, you know what? This is actually bad because my girlfriend has family in Creighton, Nebraska.
Yeah, you better get the map
you know
out.
Creighton, Nebraska and Creighton University, not the same.
I do know that.
I don't think you do. You just said it's in Omaha.
You just said it was in Omaha.
It's not even
near.
It's not remotely near Omaha.
Is it not like 30 minutes away?
Not even close.
Oh, well, that's a shame.
Not even close. Matter of fact, from Omaha, it's a good solid 3 hours.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, straight north of Norfolk.
Well, that's not, I did not know that.
Yeah, it's basically, you're 15 miles from South Dakota.
I am aware.
Yes.
It's close to Omaha.
Isn't one of your colleagues from Creighton?
One of my colleagues.
Isn't Grant from Creighton?
Grant.
Hansen.
I don't think so.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking wrong. Yeah. Nonetheless.
That's okay. He might be, and I don't know.
I don't know.
But I don't think so.
That's a shame.
Did they have sumo wrestling on Wild World of Sports? Brad, our friend Brad from the
slow pitch softball teammate Brad.
Yeah, and from the Baldwin shop. Wide World of Sports, they might have had...
They may have had it there.
Sumos.
They may have had that.
Sumos.
Well, they're going to be in Creighton today. Right. So
Creighton, Nebraska. Close to Warren, North Fork.
North Fork.
Yeah,
North.
Right by Omaha.
Matt
says, holy bleep, Swim. Talk about a swing and a miss. I missed it.
You missed that one.
That's right.
The best part, you said, in Omaha. Then you said, no, it's 30 miles. It's outside suburbs of Omaha.
Just outside of it.
It's outside of Omaha.
Hop, skip, and a jump.
Another 200 miles outside.
Let's talk turnovers.
Near or far. All right, so going back to Nebraska football here, Matt Rhule mentioned yesterday turnovers, and everybody was aware that Nebraska was pretty awful at turnovers last year. -17 in turnover margin. Sip, I know you have a lot of the numbers since 2009. I believe only two seasons since 2009, Nebraska's finished plus in turnover margin. Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't know. I only went to 2009 because that there's a website, College Football Stat website, that just went back to 2009. I think, yeah, I mean, there's only been two times. That's exactly right, Swim, since 2009. It was 2009 was one of them. They were plus +5. You might remember that. That was when Nebraska played Texas in Jerry's World.
That was when they had a lot of good players on defense. Number one total defense in the country.
Yeah, that was there loaded up with some guys that Bill recruited. Eric Hag.
Eric Hague, yeah.
Amakamara was back there. And I think
Eric Hague had a great interception in overtime in Ames, Iowa, against the Iowa State Cyclones in overtime to seal the game.
Yeah, though that was incredible. It was obviously Sue. And who else was on that line? Was Crick on that line? I think Crick was on that
Jared
line.
Crick would have been on that line.
It was a freaky defense. Yeah. But so they were plus +5. And then the other plus team was 2016 when they, you know, the last Nebraska bowl team, they were also plus +5. Mm. So, yeah, only two times. And I think if you go back to 2006, it's still two times.
Yeah.
So that's, it's really incredible if you think about it. Nebraska's only been plus in the turnover category two times since 2006.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to.
It's one of the biggest predictors there is in wins and losses.
Wins and losses.
I mean, it'd be the number one predictor.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, okay. Played great on both sides of the ball. We had three turnovers. They had none. Probably not going to end well.
Probably not going to end well.
It was also because it came up last night when I was in conversation with someone that they had mentioned that Nebraska had 13 takeaways. One was on special teams, which means defensively they were one a game, which is low.
That's low.
That's a low. Now, the defense could not have taken the over and put them into a positive. There was too many turnovers to get close.
31.
So you're not going to all of a sudden, we nailed it. So we ended up, we had 31, but we got 39.
If you force 32 turnovers, that's an incredible number.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that that's also a conversation of working towards, obviously, more turnovers.
You know, guys, if you just zoom out for a second, okay? In Swim, you get this as a journalist. People ask you, what happened to Nebraska football? Why the decline? You can do this. I mean, just listen to the show and then zoom out. There's two major reasons we've talked about today. There's two major reasons. You could say, when people ask you the question, say, well, they've only been plus in turnovers two times since 2006. That's one. And Bill mentioned another one. They've only had one first-round draft pick since 2011. Those are two major reasons why Nebraska slid. No first-round draft picks since 2011, and they're never plus in the turnover category. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. Those are two. Yeah. You can swim. You can, when people ask you at a party, like,
because I party,
like at wedding.
Say you're at Great Plains Hotel.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, that someone asks you, what do you think, Swim? You're there.
Right. You can do
you're
it.
There.
I can't say I've ever been to the Great Plains Motel.
Fact, I can say I've been there.
But that is very...
Got a drink dumped on you.
Highly intelligent. It is. Yeah. It's like this. These
Those are two major reasons.
You could probably go back to, obviously you had the time with, you know, with Sue and Prince and those guys.
Hey.
But just go back to just first team All Big Ten.
Right.
How many first team All Big Ten players have you had?
It's dried up. Don't get me started. I do this. People get so tired of it. But I go down that road all the time, Bill. If it dries up and you don't have any first teamers, you're probably in trouble. And that's what Nebraska's experienced.
Yeah.
They hardly ever have first teamers anymore.
It's, I mean, it's interesting because, like, you look back to the defense two seasons ago, and obviously, Bill, you were a part of that. But then also last year with Tony White, where it's not a negative towards the defense specifically in terms of takeaways.
Mm-hmm.
It's a negative in the offense in terms of turning it over.
Yeah.
And I thought Sean made an interesting point when we talked to him about quarterback run game. Mm-hmm. About the quarterback run game, right? Because, I mean, go back to last year, guys, specifically, since we want to talk about in the scope of minus 17.
Mm-hmm.
All of the issues at quarterback, mm-hmm. and the not even second guessing, but just not mm-hmm. knowing how you want to operate, I think, at quarterback hurt them a little bit. Because it was like, okay, Jeff Sims, you go out and get this guy. You make the comment preseason that he's an NFL type of quarterback. Then he comes out instantly game one and doesn't show it, right? And I understand, like, you don't want to just instantly pull the leash back and say, okay, you're done. But also, they didn't have depth behind him. They didn't have somebody that was really able to come in and be consistently productive, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, granted, yes, Nebraska at one point last season was 5-3.
Yeah, Heinrich was 5-3.
What was the reason behind them finishing 5-7? You could talk about quarterback play. You could talk. I mean, we can zoom in. You talked about zooming out. We can also zoom in on certain position groups and say they just didn't have guys that maybe could make plays on offense.
There's a lot there. I mean, the Heinrich was 5-3 as
he was.
Starter.
He was, but
he had moments.
It's not. I would say it's not like that. There were moments where you scratched your head and said, "Man, is this really the best that Nebraska could give?" I think there were moments. There were disappointing performances at times.
Well, of course.
Nebraska's defense stepped up time and time again at times last year.
It did. It did, but I don't go down that road too far of they were a stalwart unit you could always count on. No, they weren't. No. They didn't get off the field at times.
No, they didn't.
Against Wisconsin, for instance.
They were also on the field a lot.
That's true. That's a good point, Swim.
They're on the field quite a bit.
That's a good point. They're put in tough positions by turnovers a lot of the time. That's a good point.
There's some tough spots.
Yeah, that's a good point. But there were times, too, when they needed to get off the field, and they didn't. They didn't get off.
No, they didn't.
So, yeah, they were 11th nationally, though. It was a good defense. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely, I guarantee you, it's not hard for Tony White to show his guys, hey, here's where we can be better. Because there's plenty of examples on film. They're good, but now back to the conversation, do they have a guy on that defense that could take them, that could help drag them to the next level?
Let's talk about the mailbag question.
Yeah,
who can you count on to say, yep, if we need an interception, we need a takeaway, whether that's a forced fumble. Like, I go back to the Levante David against Ohio State. What was that? 2011?
Yeah.
2010 potentially.
Yeah. When he
just stripped it out of Ohio State's hands.
Yeah.
Who's that guy for Nebraska's defense right now? Do they have a guy?
I don't know.
Right now, like that.
Well, he didn't present himself last year.
No, that would mean this. You say, oh yeah, we've seen him do this over and over again. Turnovers are something they're very dicey in the conversation, because you get into the part. First of all, the 5-year study we did at LSU was when the ball comes out on a fumble, it's like 82%. It's on the first contact. It's not the second guy coming in. It's the initial shot. All of a sudden, the ball's there. Quarterback has it in the pocket. Boom, first shot. That's when the ball comes out. It's not, and we all teach, hey, the second guy in, rip the ball. Usually the second guy in, he's pretty clutched up. So the first initial shot. So then they have to be really good at, because I've seen this one too, people trying to get the ball out while the running back's still running down the field. And they're punching at it.
Right.
And because if you get to your coach, like, coach, I'm trying to make a play. You said turnovers, or in an interception ball, that's when you lose your mind. Coach, I was just trying to make a play. I went for the pick. When he shouldn't have went for the pick. I'm just trying to make a play. So if you start preaching, you've got to make interceptions. You have to make the interceptions every time that they make a mistake. Mm-hmm. When the quarterback makes an error, that's when you have to be able to make your plays, or within the concept of the defense.
Right. So, yeah, you basically what Bill Swim, what I was going to say is, I don't know that you can say to a defense, okay, who's the guy that's going to force the turnover? I don't say that. I say, who's the guy that's going to make the play? Turnovers, if you're making a lot of plays, maybe the turnovers will come. But I don't say who's going to go get the ball. I don't say that. I just say, who's going to make the play?
Yeah. Well,
who's going to make the play?
And I think it all kind of works intertwined with itself, right? And correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, but like it's get pressure to the quarterback, force him to maybe be in an uncomfortable spot, force him to make a split second decision, and it might not be the right one.
Everything to have positive things happen, the turnover comes down to a couple things. It's really simple. It's roll call on the ball. How many guys do you get to the football and the effort to the football? That's where it comes. Then you have opportunities. The ball gets knocked out. You're in position to be able to scoop, whatever it is. Effort and bodies, population to the ball.
Yeah.
Those are the things that get you in opportunities to have things happen. If there's population and pass rush, all of a sudden he has to make a move because there's great push in the middle. And also he's got to try to spin out. All of a sudden, boom, there's someone there.
That's havoc.
That's when the ball is loose.
Havoc.
Or a potential of it being loose during that time.
You know what you want? You want havoc. You want the quarterback to be freaking out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've also seen, so every place you've been,
havoc.
Every place does turnover circuits. Everyone does it. And then there's some places that just do it way better. And the ones that have the anticipation of the drill and how important it is to the drill. And not just like, we do a turnover drill and go through the motions. So when we, like at LSU, I ran the turnover circuit. And so we kept track of every ball. So the top five guys got new pair of shoes for what they got out turnovers in practice. And we kept a running total.
What now?
And
really?
So like on, we had turnover day on Tuesday. So on Wednesday, Coach O would post up and he would show the drill. He would show the, whether it be two ball, all the different drills that we had. And whatever the turnovers were that they got the ball out during that drill, right there, their name went up, and so that was covered. So the first thing that was covered on Wednesday was turnover circuit, which goes back to Coach O's, if we drill it, we film it. If we film it, we watch it. If we watch it, we fix it. So those four things.
Whoa.
And so nice. And so he, so the so don't do Whoa. The little things, and don't you got you better film it, and you better watch it, and you better show it to them, and you better fix it. So that was the things you go through.
There's a coaching clinic right there.
That's pretty awesome. Let's take a break. Let's take a break. When we come back, Nebraska basketball. How about them? Get another commitment.
How about that?
Fred.
How about that? They got a shooter.
They did.
A legitimate shooter.
They did. We'll tell you all about it when we come back. Early break on the ticket. By the way, I did forget about this. This segment, sponsored by our friends at First Rate Ag. I forgot about this, guys.
Not second rate.
Not second rate. They have everything you need for lawn fertilizer and more. Call them today, 308-995-8327. Or you can go to firstrateag.com. Make sure that you ask for Parker or Chris. And what do you guys have to, what do they have to mention, guys?
The ticket.
There it is. Mention
and you
the
get
ticket.
20% off of all lawn furniture, all lawn fertilizer today from 8:30 to 8:37. So if you get there for the 7 minutes in that window right there,
you got
to
get there.
Yeah, get there right there. So 8:30 to 8:37 is 20% off all lawn fertilizer.
Time it up
and get there at that. Now you probably might have to deal with who will be in the office. Someone is always there, but there's a really good chance right now that Parker and Chris they're out putting down fertilizer right now. They're working. That rain they've had. I mean, the things are going.
Oh, rain yesterday.
Things are getting green, and they're protecting it.
You just got to mention the ticket. That's all it is. Mention the ticket. Once again, First Rate Ag in Holdridge. Give them a call today, 308-995-8327. Now, we can take a break. Come right back. Talk Husker Hoops.